Hey, hey, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, August 1st, 2012, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Who are you?
Well, I'm your host, ma'am, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Authors, speakers, educators, and relationship guides, Rob and Janelle Alex, return for part two of their appearance on this, the Sex Wisdom Show. As you probably recall from last week, they are the husband and wife team who are exploring the intimate connection between the sacred and the sensual.
I asked for clean, athletic, smiling. She sent me dirty, tired, and paunchy.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 340, and presto. But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Rob and Janelle invite you to visit them on their site, sexychallenges.com. You can also find them at thecouplesspot.blogspot.com. And of course, they're on Facebook too. And you can find all of these links in today's podcast posting on drdicksexadvice.com.
And you have no style or sense of fashion.
Are you kidding? Look at this beautiful chiffon ball gown I'm wearing. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone that writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab in the header. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. And remember, a portion of the money you spend at Dr. Dick's How To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself, comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So knock yourself out. Okay, on with the show. Rob and Janelle, thanks again for coming by drdicksexadvice.com for this Sex Wisdom Podcast. This is part two of our conversation. We had such a good time together last week, and it was so exciting and interesting chat about sex and spirituality and sensuality and lovemaking and all those wonderful things, and your book, Sexy Challenges. So I'd like to pick up precisely where we left off last week so we don't lose any time.
Okay.
In our discussion.
All right.
So we were talking last week, as our time came to a close, about sexy challenges, and you walked us through one of them, which I thought was very fascinating. So let me ask you, are the sexy challenges in the first part of the book easier than those later in the book? I mean, are you amping it up for folks?
I would say no.
Oh, interesting.
These are how they came to me. I just started kind of putting them in order. And it's just, you know, I don't think there's any, you know, sometimes I'll come up with one that's a little simpler, maybe more simplistic in essence. But no, I don't think that they're designed to, like, ramp up or, that, you know, you get to the end of the book and you
get to be Superman
or anything. But
everybody's individual, so each one of those,
right.
And some of them might not resonate with people,
right.
Whereas there's in the book do, of course, because some people may be like, I don't want to do that one, or, oh my gosh, we have
right.
to do this
and that,
one.
And then we encourage people to do that. We don't, you know, they're not for everybody, and
right.
if you're uncomfortable with anything in there, we suggest that you skip that.
Or change it.
Yeah, change
it
to
relationship.
Right. So, which gets us back to what you were talking about last week is that you're a guide, basically. You're suggesting paths to people, not this is what you got to do all the time from, you know, from now on. You're opening opportunities up to people.
Right, because all kinds of different people are going to pick up this book. There's
right.
going to be some that are very timid,
right.
and they've not branched out in their sexuality in this manner before. And some of these might be a great stretch for them. While
right.
other
right.
couple might pick this up, and they're going to be like, oh, we just did that last week. What are you talking about?
Right. So it's expansive, and you're expecting your readers to really participate and, you know, craft these things to mm-hmm. fit them and their relationship.
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Definitely.
Good. So it's pretty open ended. This is not like, you know, step one, you know, flap A goes into slot B. You know.
Correct.
It's good.
Each one, when I start into it, I try to think, you know, open-mindedly as I can, and
uh-huh.
leave enough room for personal preferences, or
right.
you know, if they're not comfortable with that, maybe a little bit of an alternative.
Right.
And I always encourage people to, you know, branch out, you know, add something to it, take something away from it, whatever
you
need to do.
Good. So I want to return to the spiritual aspects of sexuality. So much of Western spiritual tradition is shame-based, particularly when it comes to human sexuality. We talked about this briefly last week, sex equals sin. But there's got to be a better way than that, right?
Yes, I hope so. I'm putting my bank on it.
Good.
But it's just... I think we are. We're given so many mixed messages, and we're not allowed, you know, we talked a lot about religion last time and how it is so straight-laced, and this is what you got to do, or you're,
right.
pardon my expression, but you're going to hell if you,
exactly
you know,
that.
Do this. And, you know, it's just not that way. I don't feel it in my body or in my soul, if you will. I don't feel it that way.
And spirituality and religion are two different things as well.
Definitely.
So,
yes.
Good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's actually, I would say, probably few people that understand that.
Yes.
Probably the majority don't know the difference, which,
right.
you know, they
right.
just
right.
haven't asked or considered it or had the opportunity to be educated.
Right. Exactly that. Well, you know, there's a lot of people who are so disconnected from their bodies that they don't know the difference between an orgasm and an ejaculation. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. I mean, they happen simultaneously sometimes, or, you know, together or close together, and so they're one and the same thing. I mean, it's really unfortunate, and, you know, the same thing is true about spirituality and religion. I mean, sometimes
mm-hmm.
religion, you know, facilitates spirituality, but not always, as we all know.
Right.
So I would assume that you agree with me that there can be a happy marriage between sexuality and spirituality, that one can find and celebrate the divine in eroticism, sensuality, and sexuality.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very cool.
Definitely.
Very cool. To my mind, this is precisely what enlightenment means. We talked about this briefly last week. Can you offer us any secrets that you have come to that would help us wed these two things together?
Well, I think the first thing, and I know I mentioned this last week, is you have to start with yourself.
Right.
Because you've got to get in touch with your spirituality and be open to that soul connection and do that work. And then, as a couple, then you have that opportunity to grow and maybe realize then that relationship is a spiritual path in of itself as well.
Because a relationship is basically, or at least a couple relationship, is two individuals. These are two people, and you don't put two cripples together to make, you know, one good one. You hopefully are two strong individuals, and you come together to make something even bigger and stronger.
Right, because we do come to it with all of our, with both of us. Each person comes to it with all their own crap.
Right,
and so
exactly
you've got to get through that, and
right.
then we mirror back to each other.
Right.
You know, when you're in an intimate relationship and a romantic relationship, all your neurotic patterns are going to get thrown right back.
You don't say.
I think that it's truly when you're both when you go into it though to really find that opportunity to move towards enlightenment together.
Uh-huh.
As well as individually, you've got to be aware and go into it with intention. Mm-hmm. To blend your spirituality and your sexuality, it takes intention as well as attention.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I like that a lot. Thank you for sharing that. That makes perfectly good sense. So I guess we all struggle to make sense of our lives and how our sex and our spiritual practices may fit into our lives. This is particularly difficult to do nowadays, unfortunately, because of the hypersexual atmosphere of our culture. We talked about again this last week. Mm-hmm. So many of the people who reach out to me here at DrDickSexAdvice.com are basically trying to find some peace in their pursuit of pleasure. I mean, if our sexuality robs us of our soul, what is the purpose?
Well, I don't think our sexuality robs us of our soul.
But that's what we're taught by.
Right.
So
that
much.
Is what we're taught by everything we see and everything we do. And it's so hard to weed through everything because it is individualized. You're not, you know, there's no set pattern for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went into this so often, and you've got to find your own calling. And I love to experience so much and take bits and pieces that work for me from, say, something like Tantra or the Kama Sutra like that. But I don't follow the whole thing to the T. It's
right.
not, you know, this isn't my path. I want to experience as much as I can in this world. And I think that's what we need to look at in our sexuality, is we want to experience as much as we can, you know, without stepping too far out of our comfort zone. And bring it all together for what works for us.
It's what resonates.
Right.
But, you know, there are people, and I'm certainly painfully aware of them because they write to me all the time, about people who are in this manic pursuit of pleasure connection or just it, and that militates against connection or pleasure. I mean, if I'm driven, you know, then the opportunities for pleasure just pass me by.
But I don't believe, and this is just my stance, but I don't believe that the ultimate problem with that is that they're seeking pleasure. There is a much deeper wound, and unless that's...
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
...covered, they're not going to find that.
Good for you.
So in that sense, sexy challenges can't fix that for them. They need to do deeper work.
Right.
So they find someone that resonates with them, a mentor, a counselor, whoever really, truly resonates with them, a psychologist to help them get through that.
Right.
Very good.
So very much of Western spirituality is about detachment, but so much of what people look for in sexuality is unity. And sometimes that desire for connection morphs into something unsavory, like ownership. She's my wife. He's my husband. Her genitals belong to me. My genitals belong to her. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I think there is some power in a committed relationship.
Right.
I don't want anybody to misunderstand me, because I believe that a committed relationship is a very big plus in seeking your spirituality, having that same person to share it over.
Right.
Now, you could branch out and, you know, in a polyamorous relationship, there could be more than one person if that's what you're into. But I think society is getting away from that a little bit, of the ownership. I've noticed several more people, you know, women not taking their partner's last name and things like that,
yes.
Becoming more and more prevalent. Sure, we've got a long way to go in that, but I think it is becoming, I'm glad to see this, but women are starting to step into their power again, gradually. Again, it's a slow process, and they're, if you go way back in time and look, and women were very powerful in a lot of cultures,
yes.
And they were the dominant sex in the culture.
Well, the divine feminine was...
Right.
I don't want to say idolized, but highly respected. And I know we mentioned that last week as well, or you mentioned that last week as well. But another thing I want to mention too is there are not as many people marrying now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Either just become partners and just forget the marriage, or maybe they'll do a hand fasting, or they'll do different types of ceremonies. And so they've moved away a little bit from that stereotypical expectation, I suppose.
Right. And we ourselves, I mean, although we're married and we went through the ceremony, this was before all our spiritual awakening, or my spiritual awakening and everything, but we now, even to this, at this point, we call each other our partners. We don't refer to each other as, you know, I don't refer to Janelle as my wife, and she doesn't.
Not typically, right. Yeah. And we've been together almost 10 years. Right.
Yeah.
So. Very cool. So there, basically what you're saying is that there's lots of vocabulary out there. If indeed we wanted to change our mindset about the context of our relationships, there's vocabulary that we could employ to actually make that happen, more realistic for both ourselves and those people that we want to share that with.
Yes, and I think another thing that just popped into my head is when you do introduce your partner to someone, instead of saying, this is my husband, Rob, we try to say, you know, this is Rob, my husband, or this is Rob, my partner, my
right.
life partner, whatever.
Right, right, right.
Which, now mind you, partner confuses some people, but that's a whole
sure.
other topic.
Yes.
Right. To get away from that stereotype
that she's
my wife or my partner first.
Right.
She's an individual first.
Right. Interesting. Absolutely.
So, between us.
So most people talk in binary terms, just like we are discussing here, when they talk about sex, male, female, husband, wife, gay, straight, whatever. It's got to be one thing or the other in the minds of most people. But so much of human sexuality and, I might add, spirituality is all about escaping the limits of binary thinking to find the nuanced as well as the universal. Would you not agree with that?
I think we agree
we
with that.
We both agree
yeah.
with that. There.
It's the yin and the yang, and the fact
absolutely.
That everybody, and which from my perspective, I would say that the typical average guy would has a little tougher time with this particular concept, but everybody has masculine and feminine within.
Absolutely.
And you've got to find that. I like to think of it as two puzzle pieces. You got to find that person that has enough of the masculine or enough of the feminine to match what you have.
Yes.
And that's the person that you're going to really resonate with in a relationship.
Yeah.
And that works with heterosexual couples as well as homosexual couples.
Absolutely.
You know, just because someone is in a homosexual relationship certainly doesn't mean that, you know, they're all, you know, it still is a balance. Yeah, I think you know what I'm saying there. There's still, somebody's probably a little bit more masculine or a little bit more feminine, but they both have both.
Yeah. And it's complementary. I mean, it's not opposites, but complementary.
Right.
And I think that changes everything if you stop to think about those kinds of things. That, you know, I'm not competing with you because you are something other than me, but we are complementing one another. I think it's a much broader mindset than, you know, just one or the other.
Well, if you go back, there's some of the stuff I've studied on Native Americans, is they had a third sect, if
that's
you will.
Right.
It's two spirits.
Two spirits, yeah, two spirits.
That wasn't even close.
But it was somebody that encompasses an equal amount of male and female energy, and or masculine, feminine, and they were an active part of the society. They had specific functions that they would carry out based on, you know.
And they were often the shaman, interestingly.
Right, yes, they were.
So
yes.
a wonderful bridge between the two. It's an amazing kind of thing. So much about great sex is simply being present.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys feel the same way as I do about that. And that kernel of wisdom is at the center of just about all the sex advice that I dole out. And it's present in your book as well. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, I think there's, you know, being present is so important, you know, down to feeling every touch. Experiencing every kiss, you know, making that orgasm last longer than just a few seconds
right.
of the ejaculation, And that's part of being present. And, you know, Janelle comes at this from a woman's perspective, obviously. And
well,
her mind works a little differently than mine. So, she, you know, as we were preparing today, she was, like, telling me some things that, you know, that I don't, that aren't in my head about being present, but the list that she keeps in her head, you know.
Well, because as a woman, we typically are, we have these things. We got to do this, we got to do that, we got to take little Billy to soccer practice, we got all this stuff going on.
Right.
And then that kind of that joke, that cliche thing, oh, honey, you need to paint the ceiling. But that's the thing. Women's minds are going. And until we get to that space where we can shut them down, it's tougher sometimes for us because of the way that we're chemically programmed and so forth, you know, to be present. But as I said earlier, or gosh, was it last week? Yeah, 'cause I don't know. But it's about having intention and then paying attention.
Right. And you to be present means, as you were saying, Rob, that this is, you know, being alert to what is happening. And if Janelle, as you were saying, if you're distracted by the cares of the world and your daily life, it's very difficult to have that attention.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about porn. Is there a place for porn in your worldview?
Well, that depends on your definition of porn. In my
good for you.
I don't think that what we think of when we hear the word porn in this country, I don't think, my personal feeling is there's not a place for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe there's a place for erotica. I believe there's
for you.
Place
okay.
erotic paintings. And I don't even like the term porn, but the softer films or things like that, I do believe there's a place in there. But anything that would be
just the
uncomfortable
hardcore. I don't
for some people, that would show any kind of violence or negativity towards another person. I don't believe there's a place for it.
Again, coming from a woman's perspective, the typical pornography that's out there, and I'm stereotyping and generalizing, but it degrades women. And so I absolutely disagree with that, obviously.
Yeah.
There are
some
soft, I haven't even seeing the soft stuff because I just don't. But, you know, but I mean, there's stuff. I mean, even if you read a woman's romance novel, some of those can be very graphic.
Yeah.
But not they have love with them.
Yeah.
It's not just the physical aspect of going out and having sex because the guy, the UPS man came to your door. Or
Really?
Oh, man, whoever. But,
I hope UPS doesn't sponsor you.
That's where I stand.
Okay, how about sex toys? From what I can gather from reading your book, sex toys can enhance the sexual connection between partners. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about that?
Well, I just think, I mean, with anything, technology and better equipment prepares you. You know, we used to build houses with our bare hands, cut the wood down and stuff. Nobody's complaining about using a table saw now.
That's funny.
But, you know, so why should we complain?
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot of fear people bring up is like, oh, the sex toy is going to replace me. Well, that's just ludicrous. You know, this is a tool to make it better.
It's so true. So your book and your website are all about getting people to think and talk more about sex. However, in our sex-negative culture, there is a very pronounced streak that suggests that if we think and talk too much about sex, then we run the risk of becoming addicts. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't think that is the problem.
Right.
There is an addiction, and I've read and did some studies on those type of things, and that's not the normal situation, and I don't think that happened. That is just like, okay, you get too much and then you're an addict, you know, as far as that goes. There's some deeper wounds there,
right,
that come to the surface, and that's why they become addicted, just same way as any physical violence, sexual activities. You know, there's a deeper issue there than just the sex. So I think talking about it is far undervalued in our society.
I would like to just make a point that we talk about food all the time.
Yes.
There's food show after food show, and we cook and we eat every day. and there are food addicts, right? But it doesn't mean that just because we talk about it or we watch the Food Network or whoever we watch or some cooking show that we're going to become an addict. So that belief, that mentality that says that's going to happen, in my view, those are the people that really cause further problems because they have such fear and then they instill that in others. And then that's where you start to make sex dirty and it messes it all up.
Well, I have a really strong personal point of view that there isn't such a thing as a sex addict. I believe that there's plenty of obsessive and compulsive behaviors that we exhibit. But addiction is a word that I reserve for people who are out of control with substances like alcohol or heroin or whatnot. And the reason that I say that is it's because, I mean, not just, you know, to be persnickety, but I actually think it actually makes some sense when we, you know, refer properly to behaviors. And, you know, an addiction, you know, like somebody goes to recovery for a heroin addiction, doesn't come out of recovery thinking, you know, okay, I'm going to start be able to use heroin socially. But somebody goes in for a sex addiction to recovery, they're supposed to come out the other side hoping that they're going to have, you know, a happier, healthier, more integrated sex life. So it just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't compute. Anyhow, can I ask you, before we conclude, because we only have a few moments left, who are your inspirations and who are your sexual heroes, if you have any?
Well, sexual heroes, there's no, you know, I don't idolize anybody. I'd say myself is my sexual hero.
Very good, okay.
Because that's who I strive to be like. But as far as inspirations, probably one of the biggest ones in my life in this quest was Osho and reading some of his literature. A very eye-opening and, you know, not take everything for granted type of mentality is what he brought to my eyes.
Cool. Janelle, anybody for you?
You know, the people that, well, let me put it this way. The information, the stuff, it's not new. There's no new information necessarily. It's just being worded in a different way and by somebody else.
Right.
So where I or who I listen to or like right now today, some of my favorite people that I would, you know, like to read about or read from or listen to aren't necessarily straight up focused on sexuality, but, you know, I'm talking Wayne Dyer, Parker Palmer Jr. You know, there's other people like that. Obviously, Deepak Chopra is a huge person right now that everybody talks about. There's Ram Dass is another big one for me. But it's because they're just sharing the stuff that they got in their way that makes sense to them.
Very cool. Well, with that, I'm going to say that our time is up again this week, and I appreciate you taking so much time with us because we are certainly richer for the experience. But before you go, would you give us your website address again and walk us around and tell us where we can buy your books?
Yes, sure. Obviously, our website is sexychallenges.com. Very simple, straight to the point. And you can find all our products on iTunes, Amazon, and for your Nook on Barnes & Noble's site there. We have the digital copies on all of those. You can get the print version of the book on Amazon.
And the print version is the
50s.
The big combination
right.
of the 50s.
Exactly.
And,
cool.
And you can also get that on digital, as we like to save trees, so we, you know, put it at a lower price. So, iTunes or Amazon
well,
for your Kindle.
Well, it's just easier to read on your iPad.
Right, yeah. So, and we, you know, we're looking forward to bringing out more of these.
Good.
So I'm working on the second book now as we speak. Like I said, on the last show, the sex diet, sexy challenge is going really well, more so than any of the others, and it just came out about a week ago.
And it's on iTunes. It's an individual one. It's not in the big book at this point.
All righty. Well, thank you again for your time, and until we talk again, we will be visiting you in cyberspace. Thanks, you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Be well. Bye. What a nice show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next Monday when we resume the Erotic Mind podcast series and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. However, before we go, let me remind you that today's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand.
Who is that sad little person? Are we doing a before and after piece I don't know about?
I see where you're going with that. There is no membership fee, and this is a pay-for-minute kind of deal. So your pay-for-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? And remember, a portion of the money you spend at Dr. Dick's How To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself, comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So, knock yourself out. One more thing. Before we conclude, I want to make sure that you know about my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now it's easy to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I and the Dr. Dick review crew review all kinds of adult-related goodies. Sex toys, for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Look for DrDickSexToyReviews.com. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.